Sure.
All right. There we go. 99.1 PLR. Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Mike Lapatino with you. And a special, special guest this afternoon is Paul Barrere from Little Feet. And as I mentioned before, when I first called Paul, I said, there's a story I got to tell you that is part of one of the biggest highlights in my life. And being on radio for 43 years, you know, I've had a lot of them, but this is up there in the top five for sure, is when I got to introduce Little Feet on the stage at the Palace Theater in New Haven. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, and for how you feeling? You feeling good? Because I know you had a couple of health issues there, and I just wanted to check up on you.
Oh, you know, at 71, I got more than a couple of
issues. hey, buddy, I'm not far behind you, you know? And I love you guys that are in the 70s that are still rocking and rolling, man. For guys like us in our 60s, we feel like kids, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, and I don't know if you ever checked out the website, setlistfm.com.
No.
Okay, well, it's funny because on that set list, you can get set lists from pretty much every band that's ever toured. And yes, you guys are on there a lot, from 1970, I believe, all the way up. Anyhow, I mentioned that because I introduced the show October 9th, 1990. It was at the Palace Theater in New Haven. And prior to the show, you guys came on my show in the afternoon, you, Billy, and Fred, Freddie Tackett, who actually just joined the band, like just a couple of years, him and Craig Fuller joined the band. And you guys, you're on the show in the afternoon. I doubt you remember this, but, you know, you guys played Old Folks Boogie. You did a bunch of tunes. And that night, you had me come down and intro the band. And as I said to you, it was one of my, definitely a highlight, because I got to do the same intro the guy did on Waiting for Columbus, you know, the Little Feet intro. And I'm sure, I hope I was the only other disc jockey that's ever done that in your career. At least like to tell everybody I was. But I did that. You guys went right into Fat Man into the Bathtub. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about it now and I'm getting goosebumps. So it's so nice to get reacquainted with you.
Well, it's cool to be talking to you as well, especially out there on Long Island where we have some history.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The Setlist FM, I mean, after we get this interview done, check it out because, I mean, they've got your set lists, and it's amazing. Where do they get this information from? It baffles me. I guess it's that crazy internet world, you know?
We got a tape archivist who basically has collected set lists from, you know, way back in the 70s when Lowell was alive, and he wasn't even following us. Up until, you know, the last show we played. And it's all on our littlefeet.net site. And he's quite amazing. I mean, how much information he comes up with, and he tapes shows, and he puts them up for free downloads. And
it's, you know, true fans. I always call that the, for the lack of a better term, Grateful Dead thinking. You know what I mean? Where everything was for the public. You know, for the fans. There's people that just love you guys and record the stuff and save these and archive all this stuff. That's an amazing feat that a lot of these fans do. But I think it's because of the band. You know, it's such a good time band.
It is, and you know, for years we railed against that kind of behavior. Well, especially Lowell, he hated giving away stuff.
But it was a different time back then, you know?
It was a different time. And then when we got back together and we did some shows with the Dead, I found out that, you know, they got all these tapers out there who not only tape and trade the tapes and put them up for free downloads and so forth, but it doesn't cut into record sales at all. I mean, if they're a fan, they're going to get everything you got.
That's exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. And they were a little bit ahead of their time in that respect, you know. And, I mean, I could see the other side of the coin because back in those days, and I was friendly with a lot of musicians who were 60s guys, like Jack Bruce, for instance, late Jack Bruce. And he would talk about just how record companies and the vermin out there would just steal stuff from the bands. It was just a horrible time. Where back in your days, in you know, the 70s, and where you would play, musicians weren't businessmen, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you had unsavory businessmen that would come in, and not in every case, and I don't know if that happened in your situation or not, but I could see where Lowell was coming from, you know, and not.
Oh, yeah. Well, the original complaint that Lowell had was from a radio show that we did out there on the island back in September 74 that wound up being a bootleg. And somebody was making money off it, but we weren't. irks you.
And that's where you draw the line, because I know with the Dead tapes, they're traded for free. You know, that's what they did. But when you get somebody that bootlegs and then sells it, I mean, they should go to jail. That's stealing. Plain and simple, you know.
Oh, and the internet is I call it the new, ocean out there, and it's just filled with pirates.
Absolutely, and it's another guy who I follow sometimes, and I follow you guys. You're on my list of island albums. You know, the old disc jockey story. If you're on a deserted island, what three albums would you bring? And with me, it's always live music. I always love live music. So Waiting for Columbus, of course, is number one, because not only is it an excellent album, but I got my good buddies Tower Power that are playing on that. Emilio, who's been a friend for years, and Doc, which was great. That was one. Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore East, and The Who live at Leeds. Three, to me, the top greatest live albums of all time, in my opinion.
I think you're right. You know, I mean, even The Who live at Leeds, where you can hear the bleed through from the original take, where they kind of tried to help it out with a little bit of overdubbing, is still a rocking record.
It is, and it's a very raw and loud album. Four guys that really made a lot of good noise, you know, on that live album. Just really terrific.
We did five shows with The Who. We did one here in L.A., and then we did four in England. And let's just say that Richie, Lowell, and I got along very well with Keith Moon.
And you're alive today to talk about it.
Yeah, strange but true.
You know, and it's funny, because if you ever read anything about Keith Moon, I mean, the man was one of a kind. I mean, wild man, you know?
Wild man, great drummer.
Great drummer, you know, yeah.
Undisciplined, but just, I mean, he could just knock it out.
Yeah.
It was, like, unbelievable. I mean, he could do that with no sleep, or he could do that with something.
Now, you still got, now Freddie's still in the band, right? I love Freddie Tackett. I remember when he came up, it was back in 1990. He was just with the band for a couple of years. And Craig Fuller, he didn't come up, though. Craig Fuller, and if people are listening, he was lead vocalist with Pure Prairie League, and a great vocalist, too. I kind of like Sean Murphy. She was one of the first, I guess, female front persons?
Yeah, that was our Donna Jean.
I'm taking that in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it got to the point where, when Craig said he was leaving, we thought, okay, well, we'll just continue on as a six. And then we started to think about some of the higher register songs, and we had Sean in doing some demos with us. And Billy said, you know, maybe she should just join the band and sing some of those.
And she was with the band for a few years.
Oh, 12, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was great. She was absolutely great. But she wouldn't sing Rocket in My Pocket. I don't know why.
I have no idea why either. Oh, man. And old Billy Payne, man, I love him. I remember when you guys came out. He's such a nice guy. I had a great time. I mean, I know you're not going to remember. This is 1990, but I do. It's like, again, as I said, it's one of the highlights of my life. And as I, get older, I start looking back on all the music, including, of course, Little Feet. I've been a fan since high school, 1971. Oh. And, it's like it's become now, as I get older, it's like the fabric of my life. You know, it's I listen to the songs, and it's like, man, you bring me back to a great time.
which is a great thing about the bands that are still out there touring today, like you guys, doing a big 50th anniversary tour. First album came out, I think it was 1971, but you guys got together in 1969. You joined the band a little later, though, a couple of years later, I believe.
Yeah, they had put out the first two records, and when they put out Sailing Shoes, Roy Estrada decided, rather than tour and promote the record, he would leave the band.
and he just left a mother who's playing with Frank Zappa.
Yeah, and he went and played with Captain Beefheart. So he had some odd choices.
Yeah, I tell you, two very incredible, eclectic people, to say the least, Captain Beefheart and, of course, Frank.
Yeah.
And I remember him playing, you know, with the Mothers. I don't know if you ever played with Jean-Luc Ponty, if he was in the lineup, Zappa lineup then or not, but he was another favorite of mine.
I never did get the chance to play with Jean-Luc.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, pretty much the band has stayed the same, you know, Kenny and Billy. I guess Sam, who passed away back in 2010.
No, that was Richie.
Richie Hayward, right, the drummer, not Sam.
Sam's still there. He won't give up his age.
And why should he? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Hey, listen, yeah, we're not as old as the Stones, right? And I saw Mick just last week, at the, where was it, the Giant Stadium. And I'm telling you, for 76 years old, I mean, I love it. It's rock and roll, man. Remember when we were kids? We would think about people who were 65 like me or 71 like you, and they were old senior citizens. They were like, they're old people. I'm never going to be that old, you know. Now that we're that age, what are we doing? We're rocking out, you know. And I think we ought all to rock and roll, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, back when I was in my 20s, the only old people I would listen to is I'd go down to the Ash Grove here in Los Angeles and check out the, you know, the blues players, you know. J.B. Hutto and, I mean, they all came through there, and I loved going and listening to them. I mean, it was like, well, I could do this until I'm...
Is that where you grew up, Paul? Was it out in L.A.?
Yeah, yeah.
Los Angeles.
Born and raised.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I periodically, once a year, try to go out to California, because I love to visit. But I'm a New Yorker by trade, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I gotta stay on the East Coast, you know. I can't leave Manhattan.
I totally understand. I'm the same way about coming to New York. I love coming and visiting and being in the area of the East Coast and so forth. But you know, you usually like to live where you grew up.
Exactly. Oh, I get that. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny, you're playing at the Capitol Theater. I wanted to mention the date. It's going to be October the 18th, the Capitol Theater. Now, I know you guys played there back in the 70s and 80s. They closed for, I guess, maybe 10 years or so, and they reopened a bunch of years ago. I don't know how, maybe 5 or 6. Yeah. But you guys played there back in the day. I mean, and the bands that would come through there were, I mean, it was such an incredible venue.
Oh, and to this day, I mean, the remake they did on the place is amazing. It's a wonderful place to play. We've done it maybe 4 or 5 times in the last
it really is.
6 or 7 years.
It's such a great venue.
It is. You know, it's like a tribute to Jerry.
Well, they say that was the second favorite place he liked to play. I guess he liked to play in the Fillmore, I guess, up in San Francisco. And his other favorite spot was the Capitol Theater in Portchester.
That's wild.
And now they got a bar there, Garcia's. And I believe Trixie, you know, opened that up. She didn't open it, but she was there for the grand opening. And
right.
But it's and for us in Connecticut, it's so easy to get to. You can drive down Interstate 95 is one way to go. But if you want to party and have a good time, the train drops you right off right in front of the theater.
I know.
The Portchester train station is right there. Just make sure, for the folks listening, you get off in Stanford, get on the local, and then take it down to Portchester. But it's a great venue. It really is. And it's funny because another venue that's very similar to that is the College Street Music Hall here in New Haven,
which was the Palace Theater that you guys played at a few times.
Really?
Yeah, they that closed too for a bunch of years, and then they reopened it as the College Street Music Hall, and the setup very, very similar to that of the Capitol Theater. I just love the way they have that. It's like an old theater with a lot of the seats removed, so you can have standing room, and then they got seats in the back and a lot of great bars in the back. Just a great. Both venues are my favorite.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely look forward to seeing you guys October the 18th. Tickets are on sale now. As a matter of fact, I guess through Ticketmaster, probably Ticketmaster, or just go to port, or go to the CapitolTheater.com. They'll have everything that you
there
need.
There you go.
So in the band, who do we got in the band? Billy's still there. You're there. Sam.
Billy, myself, Sam, Kenny.
Kenny Gradney, yep.
Yeah, and Fred.
Freddie Tackett. I always call him Freddie. I don't know why, but Freddie Tackett. Every time I refer to him, it's always Freddie.
And then on drums, who took Richie's place.
Right.
Gabriel Ford, who's Robin Ford's nephew.
Oh, no kidding. Incredible guitar player.
Robin, absolutely.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And the whole family is just really talented. And when we were looking for a drummer to replace Richie, Gabe had been working with Richie for 5 years at least.
And he was a drum tech. He was a drum tech, right?
Yeah. So he had heard the songs a million times, and he says, well, give me a shot. And he was the first one we auditioned, and then we closed the audition, so, he had it knocked. It was great.
And you keep it in the family.
Yeah, and he keeps it in the pocket, which is what everybody wants.
Yeah, exactly. man, I'll tell you, October 18th. The Capitol Theater in Port Chester. I'm going to make a point of coming down and just to see you guys, because I haven't seen you in a long time. I know I saw you when Sean was the vocalist. So I'm not quite sure when that was, but maybe early 2000s somewhere. I can't remember, but I remember seeing that. And I thought it was, I went only because, wow, this is kind of different. Never had a female vocal, although you've worked with some of the greatest female performers ever. But to have one as like a front person was really interesting and very cool. I definitely enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, sir.
Right. Well, Paul, I thank you for your time. I can't wait to see the show October 18th. That's the closest one to us at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester, October 18th. Tickets are on sale now. Have the management look up the College Street Music Hall that used to be the Palace, because you guys would be awesome there.
I will do that. I'll tell him. I'll send a letter to Dennis and tell him to inform the management.
There you go. Now talk to Dennis McDally, a great guy there, too.
He is wonderful.
He is. A good guy. I met him years ago at the Gathering of the Vibes. And, of course, it was to do with something that was coming out with the Grateful Dead. And we've been friends ever since. So a good man. And you, too, Paul. You guys, I'll never forget that one day in my life that really made a difference. It was a night I will never forget, from the interview in the afternoon, playing live in the studio on my show, and then introing the show, going into Fat Man in the Bathtub. It was like, it was magic. I thank you for that. I really do.
Well, we still got a few rabbits in the hat, so come on out.
I'm sure you do. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.